Myra was a woman described by her neighbors and coworkers as a loner. She spent a lot of time alone. Life's hurts had penetrated too deeply. And so Myra built up walls, walls that would protect her from further hurts, but walls to keep people at a distance. And distance people did. Neighbors kept away, and coworkers, not understanding her life, started saying to one another that she's a spiteful woman. A spiteful person because every attempt, every gesture of friendship was rejected. Rejected out of fear of hurt, but rejected nonetheless. Every gesture of hospitality, when met with resistance, turned people off. And pretty soon they quit trying to help or befriend Myra. When new employees were brought into the organization, they were told about her. Have as minimal conversation as you have to with her. Take care of our customers and our stakeholders, but do no more, because any more will be rejected. Most new employees followed the words of their mentors, their coworkers. But one lady named Jane was the exception. She emanated a joy that was expressed in hospitality all the time. And not to extend that to anyone was a violation of her integrity and her personality. And so, despite the suggestions, Jane reached out. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Reached out with words of kindness, we reached out with gestures of kindness. And something started to happen to Myra. After a while, she began to change. Those walls that had been built up started to crack and crumble a bit. Myra began to break out of her shell. And the gestures of kindness that she received began to be gestures of kindness that she extended. Kind words or loving actions were things that Myra began to express. The heart that was wounded became the heart that was healing. And the heart that was healing was reaching out. On one particular day, as this group of coworkers gathered for another day of work, word came that Jane had been in an automobile accident. And the injuries were such that she would not be able to work for a while and that she had to resign her position. A cloud of sadness hovered over everyone. But that cloud of sadness was a little deeper in Myra. And when asked why, here were her words. She was the only Christ I ever knew, Myra said. And I am changed because of her. Something new happened in this woman's life because of the gestures of another. Something new is about to happen in John's life too. John's been preparing people for the Messiah. He's been in the desert. He's saying very harsh, necessary words about repentance. He's baptizing people in the Jordan, and they're coming out dripping wet, but having been cleansed of their sins. And the Messiah that John and others are preparing for was a Messiah they thought would be a political reformer, a political leader, and that only. Jesus shows up on the scene afterwards, and a political reformer is not who he is. He's teaching and forgiving and instructing in a gentle, life-changing way. And John, who is in prison, doesn't understand it. This is not the Messiah he thought would come. Jesus is in Galilee, and he's staying around the Sea of Galilee and its towns. The Messiah was supposed to be in Jerusalem. John doesn't quite understand. And so he sends two of his disciples. "Are you he who is to come?" John asks. "Or shall we look for another? I knew you as an infant. I know you as my cousin. I thought I know you as Messiah. But what you're doing doesn't fit my expectations. Are you he who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" And Jesus says, "Go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Go tell John that something new is taking place. Something new is taking place. God has taken on human form and is visiting his people." John understood Isaiah's words, written and spoken years ago, that said this would be the Messiah. More importantly, friends, think about those who had been blinded. Maybe blinded of their view of others or of the Lord, and all of a sudden regained sight. Think of those who were physically blind and now could see. They were messengers telling others of their experience and inviting others to meet this Messiah. Think of those who were paralyzed, maybe by sin or disabilities of one kind or another, psychologically, physically, and now they're able to walk, continue that journey to their dwelling place. They're the ones that pass on that information. Think of those who had defined themselves as poor and who knew the transforming power of good news when they never thought good news was possible. They were the ones that passed on the message. You see, all were reborn, each in their own way. Maybe it was love, maybe it was mercy, maybe it was forgiveness. Whatever it was, they were passing it on. And by word and by example, others began to know where to go to encounter the Messiah and what that encounter might be like. And the message of the birth of Christ and his ministry began to be something new for others and others and so on and so forth. Something new. We are people longing and hungering for something new. I've been suggesting this Advent that we read the Christmas story as if we've never heard it before and look for something new, because there's always something there. But then too, you and I have the ability, the privilege, to be messengers of something new to somebody else. In fact, we live in a community that values that kind of living. 37 years ago, the people who sat in these pews and pews in other churches, people who were our neighbors, began to see something. They began to see that some whose income was low were struggling, and they said, "We have been given a lot, and perhaps what we have been given is what we can share." So those who needed food were fed. Those who needed transportation was made available. Those who needed help with employment, help was given. And I bet those folks 37 years ago thought that they would lift poverty and that low income would not be the experience of our neighbors. But friends, it hasn't happened yet. It's not accomplished. There's more opportunities. 21 years ago, those ancestors of our communities and the ones that lived here 21 years ago said, let's take this holiday season, let's be more intentional about helping people. 37 years ago, interfaith outreach and a community of partners was formed. 21 years ago, they said, let's work with interfaith and step up our efforts, because this is our brother and our sister. They are looking for something new, and we have the possibility to bring it. 21 years later, the need is still here. This year, 2,184 people are going to need food or a little help with finances so that they can stay in their home, help with transportation and education. 400 of those families are homeless. I enjoy looking out at the beauty of creation this morning. Now, full disclosure, I only walked 200 yards. I didn't have to drive through it. But walking or driving, it's still beautiful. That's different than having to live outside. And there are some who have to. That doesn't have to be. But it is. And you and I have the ability to make a difference. You and I have the ability to partner with other neighbors and partner with interfaith outreach to reach out and make a difference in people's lives. The need has grown by 8% this year, 8% over last year, and the need continues to grow, and the opportunity is there. 2/3 of the families in crisis just need a little help to get over the hump. Low-income families, when there's some kind of heartache or setback, suffer deeply, and that little extra help can make a difference. You and I have the ability to partner with some great men and women to help our neighbors who are in crisis to begin to stabilize their life. And from stability comes strength. And from strength comes the ability to thrive. Many of us here know that experience. And yet some are in need. When housing and life is unstable, it's hard for a child to take advantage of the educational opportunities that are provided. And we've got some great schools, Catholic schools and public schools. And there are great opportunities offered educationally for all our kids. But when life is unstable or in crisis, the ability to take advantage of those opportunities is challenging. An achievement gap is growing. The good news is interventions are taking place both in the Wayzata schools and the Orono schools. The Catholic schools intervene too when they see it. And that intervention is giving kids a chance to achieve like our kids have. Representatives from Interfaith Outreach are here this weekend. I have a whole list of statistics that speak to a need, but I'll let them speak to it. Deacon Dennis has put together a little gathering on Wednesday. One of Deacon Dennis's great gifts is he's the community builder. So he's going to light a fire about 7:15 Wednesday morning outside, and he'll be there throughout the day until about 10 o'clock Wednesday night. Come and join him. There'll be time for prayer, for fellowship, and to learn more of things that time doesn't permit me to speak about. He's making breakfast for those who are here at 7:15. He's got s'mores for the afternoon. But really, the important part is for us to come together, feel a little bit of what some might feel, but also build the bonds of solidarity so that we can help. 21 years this has been going on. For 21 years, 27,983 times homelessness has been prevented. That's the great work that the women and men at Interfaith Outreach do with our support and the support of this community. So I'm going to ask you after the first collection to really prayerfully ponder and dig a little deeper. And with a second collection, let's say to those in need, yes, we are here with you. We are here for you. You are our brothers and our sisters. Let's say to the broader community, to the county, that we're here to help. You know, if a family loses their home, a family of four, and the county provides shelter for them, the cost of that is about $3,700 for a month. If we're able to do it through the work of our friends at Interfaith Outreach, the cost is only $750. Wow, what a striking difference. And we get to bring the love and the care that people need. With every donation offered, every little act of kindness expressed, like Myra's experience, you and I can light a spark. You and I can ignite the imagination and the heart and the staying power of this whole community. If your neighbors see you doing it, chances are they're going to do it too. If the other congregations see us do it, they're going to do it too. That's the power of this community together. And for our sisters and brothers in need, what a great Advent Christmas present to say we are here walking with you so that something new can be your experience too. The Messiah is present through our generosity, our service, our care.